教学系列丛书，英语高级口语资格证书考试，高级听力教程第二版，周国强、杨永平主编，由上海外语音像出版社录制出版，第九合。
An advanced course of English listening, second edition.Passage 4.
What is it that you enjoy about driving a taxi, Chris?
Well, I mean, you do it for the money, obviously, like most jobs. But I suppose I enjoy being my own boss, you know, doing what I want to do. And you're very much in control of what you do. You decide what area you're going to go, when to have a break, stuff like that. One thing you have to be always thinking about is where you might pick up a passenger.Will the opera house be turning out? Do they have an afternoon performance? What time will the planes be coming in? I wonder if there are any trains arriving. You're always sort of scheming to make an extra bit of money. And the relationship between reward and effort is very immediate. You make the right decisions, you get a fare, and they pay you. You know, you don't have to wait till the end of the month. You meet some people who aren't all that nice, but the vast majority of people are very nice. If you're pleased to talk to them, they're mostly pleased to talk to you. You get a feel for people who don't want to talk to you. Obviously, the first couple of one-word answers will tell you.
So you always start talking.
I always wish people good morning, or good afternoon, or whatever. How are you? Which gets things off to a good start.Because quite a few people have a general dislike of taxi drivers.
Do they?
Well, they do. I mean, the mere fact they can't get a cab the minute they want one makes them annoyed, you know? And if the cab takes half an hour or so to come, you know, people are beside themselves. Why is it so, you know? Why didn't you come sooner, you know? But start them off well, on a sunny day, people are pleasant, happy.You meet some people who are famous.
Like?
Well, I took Louisa Wallace to the airport on Sunday, who's famous for soap operas. A big soap opera star in, what was it? Fathers and Sons. Oh, you must have seen it. She played Gertie for years. Oh, yes, yes. Famous. Well known. Then I took Brian Best, the sports commentator, to a football match a little while ago.He told me a few good jokes, I remember.
Have you ever made a friend of somebody you took in your cab?
No, I haven't actually. I suppose they're brief encounters that aren't really suitable to be extended. There are certain professional distances, I suppose. There's a line beyond which I don't feel that I want to go. I don't want to make friends of everybody in the world. I just happen to like having a little chat with them for a while.I suppose I was born to do that sort of thing. I'd have made a good shop assistant. I'd have made a lovely menswear assistant. Something like that. Very nice, charming, and friendly, but don't need to talk at any length.
16. What does Chris enjoy about driving a taxi?
17. What does he need to do as a taxi driver?
18.What does he find about most of his passengers?
19. According to Chris, when do some people get annoyed?
20. Why does he feel he is well suited to his job?
Part C.
The mid-20th century has brought three great and obvious changes to family life: contraception, personal mobility,and a concern for the equality of women. Along with these, and linking them, we have a value system which rejects the idea that anyone is superior to anyone else, and hence the rejection of established authority, except that which arises within a self-conscious peer group. Old accepted patterns of behavior, including courtship and the ways by which men and women meet, have disappeared and have been replaced by nothing discernible. At home, most parents do not restrict the movements of their children, in particular their daughters, as much as they used to. Girls expect to go to work when they finish their education, no matter at what age, between 16 and 23. They meet men at work, within their peer group, and through their friends. Some form stable relationships early. Others have several relationships in succession. Most young people have sex before marriage. Most are successful in avoiding unwanted pregnancy at this stage. Some marry if pregnancy does occur. Increasing numbers of couples set up home without being married. For those who become pregnant and are unable or unwilling to marry, abortion has been available, subject to restrictions, since 1967. The restrictions are not very precise, and their meaning depends mainly on the interpretations of individual medical practitioners. Even so, the number of legal abortions carried out in any year has not exceeded 160,000. The main effect of the easing of the law has been to reduce enormously the incidence of bad effects on the health of women. A large proportion of abortions are performed on married women who already have several children. In one way, the new acceptance of extramarital sexual activity has been hard for women. It is easier for men to avoid responsibility, and in a world where people are encouraged to think that they have a right to whatever they want, some women suffer from being treated without the personal respect which older values expected men to show. Most women who marry continue to go out to work until they have children, and few have more than two children. The birth rate declined in 1965 to 1977, as in most other countries, and in 1997 was around the European Union average at 13 for 1,000 population. Most women with very small children stay at home to look after them, unless they can make other arrangements. Few married couples live near to their own parents, and grandparents are likely to go out to work themselves. There are not enough places in nursery schools to provide for all the mothers who would like to go to work, but a few workplaces provide creches, and children can be left with private childminders registered with the local authorities. Parents have become more indulgent to their children in every way, giving them more presents and money, and not exercising much discipline. There is so much variety that generalization is unwise, but serious misbehavior, including vandalism, by young children, increased 10 times over in 20 years, and is often blamed on weak parental control. The problem families are well known to the huge army of social service workers. In well-adjusted families, modern life gives scope for more collective family activity, which is helped by owning a car and garden. Improved housing has made family life more private, and with privacy has gone a decline in the informal social control of neighbors' opinions. While the nuclear family of parents and children has grown closer together, the extended family has become weaker. Young people, when they marry, tend to live well away from their parents and other relations, often in different towns, and many people in non-manual careers move from one town to another at intervals of 5, 10, or 15 years, so that many children hardly know their aunts, uncles, or cousins.
Part D. 1. Sentence Translation. 1. If we look at the figures for Japan, the rise is considerable, from 97 million tons to almost 110 million tons.
2. Behind every great man, runs the cliché, is a woman, though in these days of sexual equality, perhaps it should be behind every person is another person.
3. I'm going to speak to you about the rates of assault in the Nordic countries. I've chosen this particular crime as it's the one where our product could be most useful.
4. As you can see from the graph, production fell sharply in the European Union and the States, but rose in Japan during this period.
5. I'm going to talk about the road accident figures in the UK. The total number of accidents fluctuated quite a lot during the period from 1982 to 1998. 2. Passage Translation.
1. When I finished education in 1984, I joined a textile company in the north as a salesman, and I worked there for about 2 years. However, as you know, the textile industry has gone through a bad time in Europe, and Britain isn't the only European country where markets have disappeared. In fact, I could see the sort of problem we were going to get from the Far Eastern markets very early on. So I left the textile company and joined a food processing company in 1989, again as a salesman. I worked exclusively in the dairy sector here. There were six of us. Then, in 1998, the head of that sales division left, and I was asked to take his place, which I did.
2. During the year, the sales of the French motor car companies fell considerably. For example, Renault's market share dropped to 11%, and there was a similar decline in Citroën's share of the market. On the other hand, Ford and the big German manufacturers did well, with Ford's share rising to over 12%. Other companies with an increase in market share included Volvo and some of the Japanese companies. Sample Test 5. Part A. News can be something the authorities want you to know, or something they would rather keep secret. An announcement of a government success, a denial of a failure, or a secret scandal that nobody really wants you to talk about. If the authorities want to tell the world some good news, they issue statements, communiques, and call press conferences. Or politicians make speeches. Local newspapers, radio, and television help to alert foreign correspondents to what is going on. And by making contacts with local officials, journalists can ask for more information or explanations to help them write their stories. Unless the correspondent is an eyewitness, it's rare to trust any single source. Officials have a policy to defend, and opposition politicians want to attack it. Rumor and gossip can also confuse the situation. So, you have to check information as much as possible, using common sense and experience as final checks to help establish just what's likely to be the truth, or close to it. Just getting the news is only half the job. A correspondent may be well informed, but his job is to inform other people, the public. So once the information is available, it has to be written in an interesting way, which is also easily understood. Particularly for radio, since, while a newspaper reader can turn back and reread a sentence or two, the radio listener has only one chance. This also means that only a limited number of facts can be contained in a sentence. That there should be an element of repetition. And vital information necessary to understand the latest development should be presented at the start of a report, in case the producer of a news program decides to shorten an item by cutting, for example, the last sentence or two. Finally, the style of presentation must match the subject matter. A cheerful voice might be perfect for a royal wedding, but it would be sadly out of place for a report of a plane crash. And this would also confuse and distract the listener, probably making it difficult to understand just what had happened and to whom. Part B. Passage 1.
Well, I'm sure all our listeners would love to be brought up to date on the latest in tiny televisions.
It's an expanding market, that's for sure, and they seem to be getting smaller every year.
Which countries are dominating the market?
At the moment, it's Japan, principally. In the spring of 1982, Sony introduced the Watchman.
Is that the Walkman?
No. The Watchman is a portable black and white TV set with a tiny screen and aerial.
How big is the whole thing?
Oh, I'd say about 35 centimeters by 12 centimeters. And it weighs only a couple of kilograms.
Was it a success from the start?
Funnily enough, a Sony executive said that no one would want to watch a TV while walking around. And also, a slightly larger model could be bought for half the price.
Really?
But, despite this pessimistic view, sales of this model far outnumbered projections.
Well, you can never tell. How big was the initial production?
The company started with 2,000 units per month, and increased to 5,000 by the end of 1982. But they still couldn't keep up with the demand.
So I suppose they upped the production levels even higher.
It was much more radical than that. In the spring of 1983, Sony pulled out all the stops
and launched the Watchman all over again with a new model.
Oh, what's it like?
Well, it's 20% smaller, and the price is 25% less.
Mmm.
And the components were designed from scratch.
And what about production levels?
They quadrupled to 20,000 units a month, just for the Japanese market.
Wow, the Watchman certainly seems to have taken off.
Indeed it has.
And I believe there were other Japanese companies as well.
Yes. At the end of 1982, Hattori, that's H-A-T-T-O-R-I, you know, the makers of Seiko watches, well, they unveiled an even smaller TV, around 3 centimeters, which is built into a wristwatch.
Incredible.
It certainly is. The rest of the set is carried separately in your pocket, and it's about the size of a packet of king-size cigarettes.
And how does it work?
It has a liquid crystal display screen. The TV receiver and battery pack fit into your pocket, and they're connected by a cord to the watch.
Is there a headphone?
Oh, yes. That's plugged into the receiver as well.
Seems a bit complicated, that one, with all the wires and bits and pieces.
Yes, it does.
Any other Japanese models?
Yes, Casio. That's C-A-S-I-O. Their latest is a calculator-sized TV, about one-third the bulk of the Watchman, and with 1983 production figures of 2,000 units a month.
I see.
And, according to a spokesman, they hope to match their calculator sales, which are about 25 million units per year.
Very impressive. And no doubt other Japanese companies will jump on the bandwagon.
Most likely.
Now, could you tell us about other countries making these tiny TVs?
Of course. From Sinclair in England, there's one similar in size to the Casio, and their production levels were 1 million for 1993.
Obviously, they're planning on backing a winner.
How right you are. A representative said they expect a mass market response, not just as a novelty item.
And just which market are the manufacturers aiming at?
Mainly the commuters who spend hours going to and from work. These tiny TVs will provide relief from the monotonous train and bus rides.
Well, thank you for keeping us in touch with this extremely popular gadget.
My pleasure, and happy viewing to all you with those wee TVs.
1. What is being discussed in the talk?
2. When was this product recommended to the public?
3. Which of the following companies first introduced this product?
4. Which group of people are most likely to form the main market for this product?
5. According to the talk, which of the following is true about its market?
Passage 2. How many different countries do you think you've been to?
Once I made a count of how many countries I'd hitchhiked through, and it came to 28. So if you add on a few more for those where I haven't hitched, I imagine it comes to about 40 by now.
About 40? And are there any of these that you feel you really would like to go back to?
2 that I could actually live in, I think. One would be the west coast of Canada, because I think that had everything to offer. It was rich culturally. It was very bright, it had a very pleasant climate, slightly improved on Britain. It had the Rocky Mountains behind, loads of coastline, a lot going on both day and night, a large university, and it was just near America if you felt like crossing the border. The other place I like, but more for a holiday, was Sardinia, which I found was one of the quietest, most unspoilt parts of Europe that I've seen.
What is it about traveling that makes you want to keep doing it?
I think it's the one time when I feel completely alive every minute of the day. I also feel I have a tremendous amount of experience to bring back every time I've traveled. There's so much to share with other people. I feel I've got sort of 200% me to give once I come back. But when I'm actually doing it, you're free from all the bounds of routine. You're free from the assumptions people make about you. You're free from the inhibitions that cause you not to fully be yourself and enjoy yourself because of what people might think and so on.
But it can also be a little bit dangerous at times, too, can't it?
It can certainly be dangerous if you're doing it alone. I avoid traveling alone whenever I can. I mostly go with people I know very well, and this is part of the travel, discovering the person you're traveling with and discovering the differences in tastes, and the similarities in taste. But the most dangerous situation I found myself in was merely being knifed here in Devon. But apart from that, I was on a train in Hungary where there was a murder in the loo, and we were kept for 2 hours while they investigated why somebody had been stabbed in the loo. I've also slept, voluntarily, in a prison in Norway and another prison in Germany. And in one of them, we were locked in and heard the other prisoners shouting and banging on the doors, and that felt quite frightening. I managed to get right into the center of the Middle East war through no choice of my own. They wouldn't let us out of the plane, and we were caught throughout the whole war in the country and couldn't get around at all. That felt as if you were living on a knife edge. We were lying there contemplating quite coolly whether, if there was an air raid, we should actually go into the shelter or allow ourselves to be killed on the spot. And there are certainly risks, and I think more so when you do travel alone, so I try to avoid it.
6. How many countries has the woman been to?
7. Which place does the woman seem to like most?
8. Considering that traveling can be dangerous at times, what does the woman do?
9. Which of the following is true about the woman?
10. Why does the woman want to keep traveling? Passage 3. Here is a summary of the news. No general election yet, says the Prime Minister. 5 people die in an earthquake in central Italy. And 1/4 million pounds is stolen from a security van. In a speech in the City of London last night, the Prime Minister announced that there will be no general election in the near future. Talk of a quick election was pure speculation, she said. A general election would be held when it was in the best interests of the nation to do so. In central Italy, several small towns and villages are still cut off by avalanches following the earthquake during the night, which killed 5 people. It was central Italy's strongest earthquake for several years, and hundreds of people have been made homeless. In Rome, as well as in Florence, Naples, and Perugia, gas pipes were broken, windows shattered, and electric cables thrown onto the streets. Thieves got away with almost 1/4 million pounds after a security van was ambushed in central London early this morning. The security van was rammed by a lorry as it was taking a shortcut through a narrow street off Piccadilly. 3 masked men then threatened the driver and his assistant with shotguns and forced one of them to unlock the van. The thieves made their escape in a car parked nearby. This car was later found abandoned in South London. The driver of the van and his assistant were badly shaken but not seriously hurt. Hospital waiting lists in the southwest of England have gone up by a quarter in the last 5 years. While the number of doctors, nurses, and other staff have increased, the demand on the service has grown even faster.
11. What does the Prime Minister say about the general election?
12. What happened in central Italy?
13. Where did the raid on a security van take place?
14. About how much money was stolen from the security van?
15. Which of the following statements is true about the hospitals in the southwest of England?
Passage 4.
The figures for burglaries have risen alarmingly over the last few years and are now quite appalling. Let me quote you a few statistics about break-ins. A house is burgled in Britain now about every 2 minutes, and over the past 3 years, the number of burglaries reported to the police has risen by approximately 50,000 to well over 400,000 this year. The insurance companies report that last year alone, household burglary losses rose by 27% over the previous year to £138.2 million, and I believe one or two companies are refusing to provide burglary cover in what we might call high-risk areas. There are, nevertheless, 6 measures which can be taken against burglaries, which I will briefly outline for you. It really only requires some basic common sense and a small outlay, combined with a little knowledge of the way a burglar thinks and operates. You have to put yourself in his position, really. Most burglars are opportunists looking for an easy break-in, so don't make things simple for them. Don't advertise the fact that you're out or away, or be careless about security. Even if you're just popping out for a quarter of an hour, don't leave doors and windows open or unlocked. A burglary can take less than 10 minutes. This time element leads me to my second main point, that where a house is hard to get into and will take a long time to do, so because you've fitted good locks and bolts on your exterior doors and windows, or even burglar alarms, the chances are that the burglar will move on to somewhere easier. Don't advertise the fact that you're not at home. There are plenty of these lapses, I can assure you. Milk bottles left on the doorstep, papers by the front door, garage doors wide open, curtains drawn in the daytime or undrawn at night are all indications. For comparatively little, you can buy a programmed time switch that'll turn off and on a light at appropriate times. Not all burglaries happen while you're out, of course. You should always be wary of callers at the door who say, for example, that they've come to read the gas meter. Always check their credentials, and if in doubt, don't let them in. It's also a good idea to keep a record of serial numbers on electrical equipment, radios, TVs, and so on, or even to take photographs of valuable jewelry, antiques, or pictures.
16. How many burglaries have been reported this year?
17. How does the insurance industry react to the rise in the number of burglaries?
18. Which of the following is not mentioned as a measure against burglaries?
19. Which of the following statements is true, according to the passage?
20. What might be the best title for this passage?